Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O venerable God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacrament, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshiped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from the book of Isaiah. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God. The psalm appointed this morning is Psalm 40, verses 1 through 12, found in your bulletin. I waited patiently upon the Lord. He stooped to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the desolate pit, out of the mire and clay. He set my feet upon a high cliff and made my footing sure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and stand in awe and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are they who trust in the Lord. They do not resort to evil spirits or turn to false gods. Great things are they that you have done, O Lord my God. How great your wonders and your plans for us. There is none who can be compared with you. Oh, that I could make them known and tell them, but they are more than I can count. In sacrifice and offering, you take no pleasure. You have given me ears to hear you. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. And so I said, "Behold, I come. In the roll of the book it is written concerning me. I love to do your will, O my God. Your law is deep in my heart. I proclaimed righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I did not restrain my lips. And that, O Lord, you know. Your righteousness have I not hidden in my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your deliverance. I have not concealed your love and faithfulness from the great congregation. You are the Lord. You do not withhold your compassion from me. Let your love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever." Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. What are you looking for? I think it's about as good a question as any. What are you looking for? It's the question Jesus asks to Andrew and the unnamed disciple that John the Baptist had spoken to them and told them, pointed to them, "There's Jesus. He's the one. The Spirit has sent him to us. The breath of God resides within him. He's the one we've been waiting for. Go towards him." And they do just that. They began to follow Jesus down a dusty road, and when he realizes they are following him, he turns around and he asks them this question: "What are you looking for?" He could have asked, "What do you want? Why are you stalking me?" What do you do for a living? Where do you bank? Where do you shop? Who's your daddy? Meaning, where do you come from? Or any other question that might have gotten an idea of them, but he didn't want to know those kinds of things. His question is this: what are you looking for? I can count on both of my hands the number of times someone in my life has asked me that kind of question. It might not have been worded exactly the same way, what are you looking for? But it was headed there. What are your longings? What are your dreams? What are your hopes? What motivates you? What propels you forward? What makes your heart sing? What do you long for with this one precious life that you have? Now, those are the juicy kind of questions. They're the kinds of questions that get at what matters. Questions that get at meaning and purpose and what this thing called life is all about anyway. What are you looking for? Can you think of a time or times, if you're lucky, when someone has asked you a question like that and you knew they really wanted to know? Because we can tell. We remember times like those, and we remember questions like those, and we remember people that ask questions like those because they don't happen that often. And because those are the kinds of questions that bond us to one another. We remember because those are the kinds of questions and the ensuing answers that connect us at the place that is deep within all of us, the place that reminds us that in reality, in all truth, we are not separate from God or from one another. They're the kinds of questions that bring about the unveiling of the thin places in our lives, the achquil moments, when the veil between this world and the next is so thin we can see all the way through it. We're in heaven. It's now. We are a part of something greater, a part of the whole. We are all one. I had a moment like that recently. It was a week ago, last Tuesday, actually. When I arrived at the church house and I made my way upstairs to my office, and I noticed sitting on my desk was a basket full of lots of little pieces of paper, heaping full. And then I remembered what they were. On those folded slips of paper were written the New Year's intentions of those of you who were present on New Year's Day here at St. Bridget. During the course of the intergenerational sermon, I had asked people to write their intention or their posture that they wanted to take in to the new year on a piece of paper and put it in the offering so that we could ask God's blessing upon it. That was what was on my desk that day. So I took my coat off and I set my purse down and I began to unfold them one by one and read them. And before I knew what had hit me, my face was wet and I was weeping. Weeping at the realization of how much we share in common. Weeping at the similarity of the things that we long for, the things we hope for, the things we are looking for. Turns out at the core, at the base, at our center, we are looking for the same kinds of things. Peace in the world, in our lives and in our days. We long to focus on the positive, on the light in the world and not the dark. We long to be more grateful for the blessings of the people and the gifts that we have been given. And we long for the time to connect with the source of life and those that we love. I was weeping when I remembered how much we all share. And I wondered, and I still do, how it is that we began to make our commonality the focus, rather than our differences, rather than what divides us. because I'm my God, to look at New York Times, CNN, Fox News, the national rhetoric, you'd think there was nothing, absolutely nothing, that we share in common with anyone that votes differently or looks differently or lives differently than we do. And in that moment of weeping and wondering, I began to further shape my own New Year's intention to better focus on what it is that we all share, all of us, at the deepest parts of us, our fervent hopes, our desperate desires, our dreams, rather than our differences that the papers and the news feeds and the echo chambers and repeat over and over ad nauseum. In this new era that we find ourselves in, I'm wondering a lot about how we build bridges towards one another rather than burning them all to hell. What are you looking for? It's the question Jesus asked Andrew and the other disciple when they came hanging around. What are you looking for? That is a relationship-building question. That's a community-building question. That's a compassion-building question. Andrew and the other disciple don't give Jesus an answer, at least not in this stage in their relationship. Could be they needed to trust him a little bit more in order to show their cards. So rather than answer his question, they ask him another one. Where are you staying? And did you hear what he said in response? He said, come and see. It's an invitation that's always open-ended. Come and see. With Jesus, it's never a command performance or a mandatory attendance or a forced adherence. Force is just not the way of Jesus. Everyone is welcome to come and see, to check it out, to look around, to listen and see what his way of life is all about. The door is always open. And in response to that open door, the two disciples in today's passage walk through it. And the scripture says that they remained with him. They stayed with him. And isn't that what we're all looking for without even knowing it? A place to stay, a place to remain, a place to call home, where the unforced rhythms of grace make up our days and where love and compassion and generosity and peace guide us and lead us closer to God and to one another. Jesus is that place. A person who himself is a home, a place to belong, a way of life. I can't help but wonder if this simple exchange between Jesus and his first disciples might go a long way in informing our interactions with one another. What if, as Jesus followers, we began to encounter each other in that way? Now, I don't mean going around and asking every Tom, Dick, and Mary, what are you looking for? But what if we took the posture that Jesus takes? Because the question is not as important as the posture. A posture that is longing to understand, to making an attempt to grasp or comprehend the other. Before we begin our judgments or burning bridges, before we've even attempted to walk over them. It's a posture of listening, not telling, of welcoming, not judging, and of learning, not schooling. And I venture a guess that if we did this, we would begin to discover that at the core of each of us, we are not that different after all. The way forward has been given to us by Jesus. The path is there. May God give us the openness and the will to walk in it. Amen.